I'm Patrick, and I'm an alcoholic. This is totally, I didn't put my name in a hat. I was part of this meeting when it started, and then after 3 months, I was like, well, my sponsor makes me go to another two other speakers' meetings, and that's ridiculous. And so I'll just, like, chill on Saturday nights, and that's what I did for a year. And then last week I came back because I just kind of missed a few people, and I kind of ditched my sponsor on Tuesday nights, and so I, two speakers' meetings isn't too many, and they had me do the whatever, lead the meeting, and so then I show up tonight, second time in 2 weeks, and I get railroaded into being a 10-minute speaker, but maybe I can help someone, and that's what I'm here for, right? So, let's see. Born in Southeast Texas, alcoholic father, beautiful mother. My mother was a saint, and my father was rather hard on me. He was a daily drunk, and he was a blackout drunk. And but my mother brought me to church every week, and I developed quite a complex growing up. And you know that we talk about in Alcoholics Anonymous how we felt different and different from others, like we don't belong in this planet or something like that. And I definitely relate to that common theme in Alcoholics Anonymous because I definitely felt that way as a child. And I had a very, very low self-esteem, and I believed what my father was telling me because my father believed my mother was a dimwit, and he needed a wet nurse, and he was already 50 years old and in declining health, and so he married my mother, and I was the last product of either one of them, and I'm the 10th child if you count both of their sets of children. And so I grew up, I had brothers and sisters who were already in their 30s. I was born an uncle, and I was like a great uncle by the time I was 9, 10 years old. But I grew up alone with two relatively old people, and never left the home. Dad was bedridden by the time I was about 14. But Dad, he instilled some good things, and my mother instilled most of the good that's in me came from my mother. But I quickly found, huffing gas at about 13, and I found booze probably around that same time. And I remember the effect that beer gave me, just one beer, drank rather quickly, gave me this amazing feeling. And I remember exclaiming just how great it made me feel to my friends, and they were looking at me like, what? I mean, they didn't really get it, and I'm like, but this stuff, this is wonderful. And I knew that right then I'd found a solution. And people use that word solution. They use the feeling of difference, in Alcoholics Anonymous, and how beer or alcohol was a solution, and it's all just so true. This theme of having a solution is so true for so many of us, all of us. If it didn't work, we wouldn't have became alcoholics. We wouldn't relate to calling ourselves alcoholics in the first place, but it definitely worked, and it made me bigger and stronger, smarter and better, or at least as good as everyone around me, which I was definitely way down there in my own self-esteem. And things weren't going too well rather quickly, and I was hanging around with the pot smokers and the people that did everything else and in high school. And I related to them, and they to me. But I knew that I needed to graduate, and so I'd made just enough to graduate, And I actually had to take an English course over the summer to graduate. And then after 2 years working in the chemical plants and being a painter's helper, like the lowest rung in the whole hierarchy of a chemical plant, I needed to do something drastic. So I joined the Navy, and that really turned out to be the best thing I ever did. And the Navy brought me out to the West Coast at 21 years old. And I was out here for only 5 to 6 months or so before they sent me to treatment because I came through the base with the beer between my legs. And I wasn't quite used to this whole thing where you're not supposed to drink and drive. And I grew up with, And so they sent me to screening. And I remember trying to tell them, and I was thinking if I tell them, if I drink like my sister drinks, then they won't classify me as an alcoholic. And they definitely, he suddenly got more and more beers out of me anyways. And before you know it, I'm a daily drinker, and it's somewhere over six pack. And he said I had to go to 6 weeks of treatment, and my life was over. I was like, okay, I can never have fun. And if I somehow weasel out of this, I'll get caught, so I might as well swallow this thing, you know. And in treatment, I remember it being very emotional, and I did swallow what was taught to me in treatment, and I did accept the program, and I took it pretty much in both hands and ran with it. And La Mesa Men's became my home group as soon as I got out of treatment, and I fell in love with that meeting, and I went to a lot of other meetings. But I didn't stick around in the program. And I think the largest reason for that is because I did not fully grasp the steps. And I didn't really, it took me, you know, 3 years to work the fourth step and to share my fifth step. And I never really got any of the amends done. So I got into a lot of pain. And by this time, I was out of the Navy and I was going to school full time. And I wanted to be a biologist. And it was a lot of work going to school, and I was poor, and I just wasn't getting, you know, laid. And there was all this stuff, and I was not having fun, and life was generally miserable, and I was very, very depressed, and so I decided to drink, and it was a good idea, actually, for me, because I was, you know, I've never blacked out. My brothers and father blacked out, but I've never been a blackout drinker, and very few of us, it seems, have ever not been blackout drinkers, but even during this last 9 years of not being in the program and drinking at my own will, I don't believe I ever blacked out. I remember not knowing where I parked my truck one time, and I actually called the cops. And I backed off right before I told them, you know, my address and my name, because I thought, well, maybe it's over here. And I went over, and that's where it was. But I don't think I was ever really a blackout drinker. And everyone laughed because, you know, but seriously, that was the only time I don't remember, you know, just about everything about the night before. And that could be a bad thing because, you know, I remember being an asshole and I remember, you know, spouting off and I remember talking all this smack and almost getting into fights. And I remember, you know, all the feelings that I would hurt. Basically, this time around, before I got sober, there was just another failed relationship and another failed relationship and another group of friends that I chased away. And I was down to basically Christian and Cindy, who were my best buddies, and they were married, and they had a kid on the way. And so I knew I was going to, like, never see them once they had the kid. And I was tired of all this wreckage, and I was tired of having to drink every single night. And I would tell myself, you're not going to do this tonight. And I would still do it. By 3 o'clock, it sounded like a good idea. And even if I told myself not to go to the liquor store, I was just driving. I was driven. And, you know, I had no choice in the matter, and so I decided to come back to Alcoholics Anonymous, and it's been a great ride. I'll tell you, I got this great sponsor, and he got me. I didn't ask for him to sponsor me. I figured I'd find one that was nice, that seemed like he was really like someone I admired, and I didn't have time to do that because I was at North Park Men's one night during like 6 days of sobriety, and I just told him, hey, I like what you had to say, and from there on out, he was my sponsor. You know, it's been really weird because I thought, and because he took me through the steps, and he got me service commitments, and he's always been there for me, and he's called me when I didn't want to call him, and I think that's just good sponsorship, and he gave me a great example of what to be for others in this program, and so I've got a lot to do still, but I attend basically 4 meetings a week, and 3 of those I have commitments in. And my home group is once again La Mesa Men's, and I love that meeting. I've got this nice relationship with Michelle, and you know all the monetary stuff is just sort of falling into order, and all that stuff you get for just working and showing up to work falls into order. But I can say that. I continue to hit my knees in the morning and continue to try to give the most earnest prayers I can, that prayers which address the third step and prayers which address my character defects. And that seems to give me some power to carry through the day. And I still think that sometimes my days are kind of tough because I refuse to see any order or any godly order in the universe, and I just sort of fight throughout the day. And I think that that's going to continue probably for the rest of my life. I'll have days like that. And faith does not come easy to me because I still cannot say there's a God, but I can neither prove nor disprove a God. And I think that's the biggest truth that I can find here. So anyways, thank you all for being here.